I think God likes worship. Amen. God desires worship. Brother Earwood leaned up there and said, "Are you a little nervous, brother?" And that was before y'all sang. Amen. And I was. I said, "I'm nervous as all get out." And but y'all loosened me up just a little bit there. Amen. And I sure appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Appreciate that good singing. And I appreciate a spirit of worship. Amen. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 2, or the second psalm here. Yes, sir. All right. I always forget about these things. Is it all ready to go?
It's got a green light when you're ready to go.
All right, thank you. So we're going to look at the second psalm. And I got a lot I want to say. And I always feel like it don't matter if I have 2 hours. I feel like I got a little time to say it, you know. And I know that lunchtime's right around the corner. And we'll try to, you know, I guess in the words of Dr. James Jones has preached for me one time. And he's so dignified. And he gets up there ready to preach. And he said, and I'm just quoting him. He said, in the words of King Henry VIII to his seventh wife, "I won't keep you long, baby." Amen. I said, well, if Dr. Jones can say it, I can say it. Amen. But the second psalm, I want to read the whole second psalm here. The Bible said, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll look at this passage of Scripture tonight. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, we're very humbled to be able to stand behind this pulpit and to be able to preach Your Word this morning. And Lord, we're very honored at the same time. And I pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would take Your Word, and I pray that You'd preach through me. Lord, You know the need of every individual in the building. And Lord, it's our heart's desire, Lord. Obviously, it's Your heart's desire. If there'd be someone here lost, we'd like to see them get saved. And we've heard preaching to that effect this morning. But Lord, we'd like to see You call some people. We'd like to see You send some people, Lord, across the harvest field. So I pray that You would work. And Lord, I know we can't call them. If I could, I would. But Lord, I pray that Thy Holy Spirit would work in our midst today and throughout the remainder of this meeting. We're thankful for those that are going, but there's a big job out there that's got to be done yet. And I pray, Lord, that You would call, that You would send. Well, thank You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the second psalm, and we look at it in the context, before we draw out of verse 8 some application, as we look at the context, we find it's a messianic psalm. This is a psalm that speaks to our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come into the first verse, we find the psalmist talking about some of the very things that are transpiring around the world today. The Bible said, "Why do the heathen rage?" And we're in a world where the heathen are raging against God. The Bible said the people are imagining a vain thing. And I don't care in this country if you're Democrat or Republican, people are imagining that they can live without God. The Republicans might be more conservative than the liberals, but everybody wants their piece of the pie, and everybody wants to live without moral restraint, and everybody wants to live against God. And the Bible said the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, but they can't put their hands on God. They can't reach up into heaven and pull God out of heaven and crucify the Son of God again. They can't do that. And so they've taken counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. And I'm telling you, if you're here and you got a mind to serve God and you want to serve God, I'm telling you, there's people out there taking counsel together against you. This world does not want God, and they don't want those who represent the gospel of the grace of God. And their idea is, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They don't want the bands of holy living. They don't want the bands of righteousness. They don't want the cords of conviction, and they want them cast away. But the Bible said in verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. And certainly we know that that is the attitude of God, in the sense that God sits in heaven and the unbeliever can say that God does not exist. That doesn't change the fact of God by 1%. The unbeliever can say there is no heaven and there is no hell, and God sits in heaven and laughs, knowing that there is a heaven, there is a hell. The decrees of God are not altered by the unbelief of man. And the Bible said in verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And he said, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And we began to go towards that messianic prophecy. We began to move in this psalm towards that time that is yet to come, when Jesus Christ, as the King of kings and Lord of lords, will sit on the holy hill of Zion. I'm pre-trib. I'm premillennial. I believe Jesus Christ is coming. I believe there will be a 7-year tribulation. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is going to literally rule and reign on the throne of David from the city of Jerusalem. Amen. He's going to rule this world. People say, the world's coming to an end. I got news. The world's not coming to an end anytime soon. Amen. Jesus coming first, and then the world's going to go just like it's going now. The difference is the good guys are going to be running things and not the bad guys. Amen. And so God said, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me this, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And then he comes into verse 8, and again with it, I want to give you the context before we draw application. The Bible said, then he said, I'm going to say, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And then we have that promise, ask of me. And in the context, this is God the Father speaking, I believe, to God the Son, the King that He's sitting in Jerusalem. And He's saying, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And so we see that there is a day coming when God the Son is going to ask God the Father, and God the Father is going to give to God the Son the heathen for His inheritance. And the very heathen that are raging against God, they'll either trust in God and they'll either honor the King of kings and Lord of lords and they'll submit to His lordship and His saviorhood in that day, or He's going to, the very next verse says, He'll rule with a rod of iron and they'll go to hell, every one of them. Amen. They will. And so here's what I'm saying. I want you to back up real quickly before we look at verse number 8. Go in your mind to Matthew chapter number 4. And our Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, and it's always been the will of God that the people of this world get saved. Amen. There's never been a time in this world where God was willing that people perish. God has never been willing that people perish. God has always wanted people to come to repentance. God has always wanted the worship of the world. God didn't create the world to go out and live in sin and ultimately die and go to hell. God created the world so that they would have fellowship with Him. The Bible said, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. And so here, you can imagine, as our brother was talking about, the anticipation of God the Son, as God the Son would desire for every individual, every boy, every girl, every man and woman in this world to fall down at His feet and worship Him and submit to Him and accept Him as the Lord and Savior and to fellowship with Him. But you and I know the heathen are raging right now and they're not accepting. Well, there's our Lord in Matthew chapter number 4, and we're going to get to preaching in just a bit. I've got to get through this introduction. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 4, we find Satan, and he's tempting the Lord. And we know the Lord's desires that He would have the uttermost parts of the earth for His possession. And we know that it's His will that every person in this world be saved by the grace of God. And so there's Satan, and he's tempting him, and he's saying, listen, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You can have the uttermost parts of the world now. You can have the people of this world now. You can be their ruler. You can reign over this world now if you'll fall down and worship me. But see, Satan's idea of having the world follow is a political kingdom. And that's not the idea of the Son of God. Amen. God doesn't want a kingdom where people join a party and follow Him in that aspect. God wants, He said, my kingdom's not of this world. And Jesus Christ, His kingdom is in the hearts of those who will accept Him as the Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you, He didn't accept it then. He would not bow down and take a shortcut. He must needs go through Calvary. He must go through a grave. He must come out of that grave on resurrection morning so that He could earn the soul, so that He could earn the right to be the Savior and the King of the world. And the day is coming. I want to say real quick, and then we'll get to the message, that the day is coming when this world, they will give their hearts and they will give their minds. They will kiss the Son. I'm talking about in this life, on that they will kiss the Son, or He will be angry and they will perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Amen. And so that's the context of the psalm. And so I want to try to pull some application out of it here this morning, just for a minute. So as we come into verse number 8, we're looking at that promise that I believe in the context was given from God the Father to God the Son. And we find four things here that I want to talk about. And then, and again, I'm trying to preach two messages in one, and I'm going to give you just a quick outline here. And I really want to get to the thought that the Lord has burdened my heart with all week about in relation to this meeting. So he said, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." And I don't believe for a moment here this morning, I don't believe for a moment that that's just God the Father speaking to God the Son. In the context, I believe it is. Amen. But I believe there's application for you and I. I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration from God and it's profitable. Amen. For you and I. Amen. And so I look at this verse and I say, man, there are some things in this verse for me. Amen. And we're talking about missions, and this is a missions conference. And as we look at this verse, it starts by saying, ask of me. And I want to just say real quickly here this morning, just give you a quick outline again. But the very first thing we see, missions in my mind starts with prayer. Amen. If we want to see the heathen get saved, if we want to see those that are living in heathen darkness come to a saving knowledge of Christ, it's going to be birthed in prayer meetings. It's going to be birthed in prayer. And I'm going to tell you, where we're not praying, God's not going to be sending, because God in His providence, God in His sovereignty has ordained, He has ordered that He will send, I believe, in proportion to the calling that we do. Amen. He said, ask of me and I will give thee. It's interesting when Jesus Christ, and y'all know this, I know I'm preaching to the choir some of this stuff, but listen to what I'm saying. Jesus Christ, when He saw the harvest in His day, and the Bible said He saw those great multitudes, and then He saw the few laborers, and Jesus Christ Himself said, "Boy, look how great that multitude is. Look how few the laborers are." And here's the first response of our Lord when He saw this great big old world we're living in, and all the multitudes that moved Him with compassion. He said, "Pray, you therefore, the Lord of the harvest." And I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you prayed the Lord of the harvest? When's the last time you as an individual in your prayer life, in your devotion before God, when's the last time you prayed the Lord of the harvest and said, "Oh God, man, we want to see some people saved. We want to see people sent. We want to see regions of our world that have never been reached with the gospel of the grace of God. We want to see them reached." When's the last time that you prayed over a map and prayed, "Oh God, send laborers to there. Send laborers to that point." Listen, we've reached half of our world. I was watching these land. I don't want to dump them out. I wanted to dump them out, but I don't want to dump them out because I have to clean it up. But we was looking at this just as we were singing last night, and I thought about this. We've reached half of our world. If you take those two half globes, we've reached half our world with the gospel, they say. And in other words, half of our world, the gospel is readily available to them. But there's half of our world that the gospel has not yet gotten to. And the Lord didn't say, "I want you to go into half the world and preach the gospel to half the creatures." The Lord said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I believe that. And when's the last time that we've got on our knees before God and prayed as individuals, prayed as families around our family altar, prayed as a church corporately and begged God and pleaded with God? Do we believe God would answer that prayer? Do we believe that if we got serious and prayed that God would answer that prayer? I'll tell you, if we believe God would answer it and we really had a burden for missions, we'd be praying that way. Amen. Praying that God would send laborers to the world with the gospel of the grace of God. We see that, and there's so much could be said about prayer, but I don't want to preach on that this morning. But there's prayer, and then there's a promise. He said, "Ask of me and I will." And I will. Man, when you ask of God something according to His will, He will. And it's not His will and He perish. So when you're asking Him to send laborers, that's according to His will. Amen. God said, "Ask of me and I will." When's the last time you asked of God and He did? Amen. You say, "Well, man, I've got down. I've asked God and He didn't." Well, I'm telling you, keep asking till He does. Amen. Listen, we know of closed countries. We know of people groups. We know of regions where no gospel witness has ever been to our knowledge. Amen. And we get on our knees and we pray and we plead with God and we fervently beg God to send laborers. Brother JR was talking about Greenland yesterday. He'll be giving his presentation sometime. I hope it's tonight while I'm still here where I can see it. Amen. But I'm saying, man, there's 57,000 people in Greenland. Amen. And there's one missionary up there. And I say to myself, how in the world, 2,000 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, how do we have a planet? How do we have a place on this planet where there's only one missionary that's been there reaching those people with the gospel of the grace of God? And he said yesterday, as he was preaching, about going to a church, and a church saying, "We've been praying for 5 years for you." They didn't know it was him, but they was praying for God to send the laborer. I'm saying I believe that missions is not just about supporting the missionary. It's about praying missionaries to the field. Amen. I believe that. We see there's a prayer. There's a promise. Man, God said, "Ask of me and I will give thee." I believe that. I believe if we ask, God will give. And then we see the people and the places. He said, "Ask of me and I'll give thee the heathen." That's the people and the places. He said, "The uttermost parts of the earth, I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth for your possession." God said, "Man, that's what I want to do." You think God wants to let the world die in darkness and go to hell? God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God does not take pleasure in one person dying and going to hell. When a person dies and goes to hell, they go to hell against the will of God. They go to hell against the blood of Christ that was shed for their sins at Calvary. They go to hell against the convicting power of the Holy Ghost that would want them to be saved. The problem is, half our world's dying and going to hell, and they don't know about the blood of Christ, and they don't know about the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, because no one has been sent. And the only reason I can figure out the people aren't going is because they're not sent. And the reason they're not sent is because we're not praying the Lord of the harvest to send them. Amen. God said, ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And then we see the prize. We see the prize. You say, where do you see a prize in that verse? He's talking about heathen folks. He said, I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. I'm going to tell you something. We think of the word inheritance. We think of something that's valuable. We think of somebody that said, man, I just got a phone call from a lawyer, and I have some long lost uncle who didn't even know died. And they had $100,000 and he done left it to me. And we think we're richer because that man we didn't even know died. We got an inheritance. And we get excited about an inheritance. We get excited because normally an inheritance, if you're not in South Dakota and have to pay the death tax, amen, normally the inheritance is something that actually is an asset to you. It is something that increases your net worth, if we could say it that way. It's something that makes you better. It's very valuable. It's an asset. Amen. And who is God calling an asset? What is God? This is what God's telling us to ask Him. I think our priorities are way misplaced sometimes. Amen. God said, listen, you want to see, we would say, well, if I could ask of God, boy, I sure would like a new pickup truck. Make sure it's a Dodge. Amen. And oh, if I could ask of God, I'd like a deer hunting rifle. And I'm not against Dodge picks up deer hunting rifle. Amen. You want to give me one? I'll take it. Amen. And we'll use it for the glory of God. I'm not preaching against that, but I'm saying these are the kind of things we're asking for. And God says, listen, here's what I want you to ask for. You ask me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. And I thought over in Philippians, and I thought over there another passage in the Bible where Paul said, how that you're my joy and you're my crown, amen, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes, and I'm not going to stand up here and theologically give you an explanation of the rewards at the judgment seat right now and talk about the crowns that the Bible speaks of, but Paul didn't talk about a crown that was going to be put on his head. Paul talked about a heathen people that he had the privilege of winning to Jesus Christ, and he said, ye are my crown and ye are my rejoicing. Amen. And I can't help but think of the judgment seat of Christ that there's going to be some folks standing there with quite a large crown, amen, of people that they've had a part in bringing to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I can't help but think there'll be folks there at the judgment seat of Christ who'll have no crown, and there'll be no rejoicing, and there'll be no joy unspeakable in that day, because they never tried to plant the seed. They never tried to water the seed. They've never seen giving God a chance to give the increase. And I'm saying, boy, there's a prayer, there's a promise, there's the people, and there's the prize. But here's what I want to preach on just for a few minutes. And I promise you the introduction was long, the message will be short. All right, we'll be out by noon. I want to preach on this thought just for a few minutes. Who wants the heathen? Who wants the heathen? You look at that verse right there. And he says, ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for that. And when we think of the heathen, I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever met the heathen, if you've been out where the heathen are, it's not a pretty place and it's not a pretty people. It's not. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to try to give you my heart just for a few minutes here this morning. Who wants the heathen? Who really want? Who in this world? Who in the United States of America? Who in our independent Baptist churches? Who here? Who really wants that? How much do you view that heathen man as a prize? How much do we look at that drug addicted lady and say, that's a prize, amen? I'm going to go out and give me a prize this week. I'm going to try my best to win someone to the Lord. How many times do we look at that person who's a drunken bum, amen, and we say, that's my prize. That's, Lord God, give me that person. That's my prize. That's what I'm after. That's my reward. I want to see them saved by the grace of God. Who's interested in looking at the dirty old filthy prostitute that this world has even cast off to the side and said she's used and she's abused and she's no use and value to anybody anymore? And who wants that person? Who wants the heathen? This? Well, I ask the church, I ask the missionaries here. I know we're missionaries. I know we're called of God. But how much do we really want the heathen? Who wants the heathen? Who in this building wants the heathen? Who in this building is willing to pray for the heathen? Who in this building is willing to pray fervently for the heathen and say, oh God, give me the heathen for my inheritance? Well, but young people, how many of us, man, we're young people, and you notice I included myself in that number, amen. But how many of us, man, as young people, we say, oh man, this is my, this is what I want in life, and this is my prize in life, and this is what I'm reaching for in life, and this is my reward in life. And I'm telling you, if we just get back to the Bible, man, the greatest reward we could have in life is bringing people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Who wants the heathen? When's the last time you asked the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer to give you a little snotty-nosed brat to bring to church on Sunday morning? Amen. And nobody else is bringing. When's the last time we was out a few weeks ago with another church? Man, we went to some places on the south side of Texas. It's as bad as Africa. Amen. We got down to some places there. We got back to some trailers, and I was going with a kid that got saved, and he was fired up to serve God. I didn't do any talking. He did all the talking. Amen. He was fired. He'd been saved not too long ago, and he hadn't been saved long enough that he got cold and carnal. Amen. He's excited about serving God, and we're going out to places. Amen. And he's knocking on doors and walking into houses. And I'm telling you, I've never seen so many fat kids, and I'm not picking on people. I'm saying I've never seen so many couch potatoes in my life. I've never seen so many people that a teenager just sitting on a couch. They got no purpose in life. They're playing video games. They have no clue about what God's got them here on this world for. They're not saved. I'm telling you, we've got a lazy bum generation. But I want to ask you, when's the last time I prayed to God, give me some fat couch potato kid, amen, that I could pick up and compel to come into the house of God, amen, so he could hear the preaching of the Word of God and get saved by the grace of God, so that God could then train him in the Word of God and send him forth to reach a lot more people with the gospel of the grace of God. I'm asking, man, Daniel chapter number 12, I believe it. It says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars. And like Brother Ballou preached out of, and I'm not trying to hang my hat on him over here, but he preached the other night about where there is no vision, and said, I take that literally. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I've heard Daniel 12:3 of late preached so many times, and people are trying to say it don't mean what I believe it means. Amen. I think we can take it at face value. I think God said they that turn many to righteousness are going to shine as the stars. Amen. I think there's some glory of God that's going to be revealed in some people who spent their life, amen, spent their life like you spend money, like they spent their life, amen, on souls, trying to get people saved, trying to go above and beyond the call of duty, amen, trying to be profitable servants in order to win people to the Lord Jesus. Consider this. You think God don't want that fat kid to get saved? You don't think God's interested in that little snotty-nosed brat, that filthy prostitute over there on the side street? You don't think God's interested in her? I'm going to tell you, the same God that loved you and sent his son to this world and had him hang on a cross, and he bled and died for you. He died for... Have we become like the Pharisee? Have we become like the man that stands up with our suits and coats off and we say, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Amen. Outside of the grace of God, that's exactly where we would be this morning if it wasn't for the grace of God. Amen. I could take you, man. Listen, do we really still believe that God wants to convert the heathen? Do we really believe that God wants to bring them out of a lifestyle of sin and put them into a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness? I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. I could take you. Hey, do you believe that our reward in heaven? I believe this. I know I'm going to heaven. Let me take a drink and I'll say something. I'm going to heaven based on the merits of the shed blood of Christ. And I know that. And it don't matter what I do, what I don't do. I'm going to heaven. But I believe with all of my heart that my reward in heaven is eternally and inextricably linked to how active I am in this world, trying to reach my world with the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Therefore, we do not lay up our treasure on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Amen. We want to lay up our treasure in heaven. That's what we're called to do. If we're following in the footsteps of our Savior, that's our calling in life. I could take you, listen, to village after village after village, whether it be in South Dakota, where I've been for the past 20 years, or over where we was in Africa for about 5 months there in 2015, and I could take you to village after village, after village, after village, after village, after village. And you'll get tired of me hearing saying after village, but we keep on going on and on and on. And we go through thousands of villages in Africa. And you missionaries been to other places. We can talk about where you're going and the people in the villages that do not have the gospel of the grace of God. They're filled with people that are living in heathen darkness. And I can show you people, they're not pretty, I'm telling you. I could take you through places right now, I'm telling you, man. I wake up at night, I'm crying because I'm not in Africa, amen. And I'm crying because there's a lot of villages over there. We went to villages and we saw people and we saw people groups and we saw boys and we saw girls, men and ladies. And I'm telling you, man, we go to village after village, and you know when you talk to them, you know you'd be the only time they'd ever get a chance to hear the gospel of the grace of God.
You pass out those tracts, and you pass out those John and Romans, and you pass out those New Testaments, and you pray to God that somebody come along that could read them to them in English. And you go on your way to the next place, say amen, to the next village and town, say amen, I've done what I could here, and go to the next place, and I'm telling you, and there's multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of places where no one's been. And it don't look like anybody's going anytime soon. Amen. I'm saying, who wants the heathen? I could show you people. It's not pretty. My son, Mikai, you know, of course, God brought us home here. I say that, and you know what I mean when I say that. Amen. We come home because of a decision on my part, but ultimately I was glad that we were home when Mikai ended up in the hospital and would have died had we not been here. But we was over there, and Mikai's got some issues, and man, he gets around something, just smells a little off, man, he'll throw up on the spot. Amen. And we go to villages there in Africa, I'm going to tell you something, man, and we go to places in Africa, we go down to the market there, man, we get into a place, and he'd be, I'm like, get him out of here, amen. Can't smell worse than what it already does, but I don't want him throwing everything. He's got to gain some weight somewhere, amen. But I'm telling you, man, places, it ain't pretty. It don't smell good. People ask me all the time, Brother Upman, is Africa beautiful? I say, where the people aren't, it is. Where the people are, it's pitiful. I can show you people. They don't smell pretty. They don't look good. Their wickedness is abhorrent. We went to a funeral. We had to get up and leave the funeral. It was so wicked what was going on at that funeral. I'm talking about a funeral. We couldn't stay at the funeral because, you know, and I just say it like this. The Bible said about the children of Israel, they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And, you know, they weren't playing basketball there. And that's the kind of stuff that was going on at the funeral publicly. And we had to leave. We went to a graduation service of a girl that had gotten saved. And we went to the graduation service, and my wife was nervous about going because we'd been to the funeral. She said, man, if they do that at a funeral, what's a graduation service? We had to leave the graduation. It got so filthy. So filthy and depraved. We had to get up and leave. We had to get permission and leave the graduation service because we could not sit in that environment, amen, with the amount of wickedness that was going on around us. It was not a good place for any of us to be. I'm saying it's a wicked place. It's a place that's broken. There they sit, broken. I'm talking about the heathen this morning. They sit there and they're broken because of their sin. They're broken because of the choices they've made. They're broken because of the consequences of sin. They're broken because of empty religion and an animist religion, juju, similar to voodoo. They're broken because of their empty religion. They're broken by the ravages of war. They're broken by disease. I mean, you see all kind of disease, all fashion of disease. It's a disease waiting to happen when you go there. People that are destitute of any hope in this world, and they sit there and they're empty and their life is hopeless. And boy, we've seen presentations about the folks down there in Arizona, the reservation, and we're going to see about the folks up in Greenland and these other places, Norway, and I don't want to miss anybody, but I know I will. But we've seen the presentation, and we've seen the faces, and we've seen that empty look and people that's broken. I'm going to tell you something. The world beats them up. The world says, come on, come over here, have a good time. And then the world beats them up and then spits them out and leaves them laying in the ditch half dead every time. And the Pharisee walks by. They look the other way. They don't want the heathen. Pharisees don't want heathen folks. You show me a pharisaical church, I'll show you a church that don't have a missions program. The priest will pass by. He'll look by the other side. He'll look and see. He'll say, man, that's rough. And he'll walk by on the other. How in God's name can we walk by on the other side? Seeing the presentations we're seeing these people that outside of churches like us, outside of people like you and I giving and going, they're not going to get, they are not. I'm telling you, the preacher preached it last night. There is a real burning hell. There is a real burning hell, and people are dropping into hell at the rate of 3 people every second. People are dying and going to hell. I'm telling you, I'm serious about this. And I know, man, listen, I know I'm not in Africa right now. I want to get back here so bad it's killing me. But listen to what I'm saying. I wake up at night, man. I wake up crying. I wake up, man. I don't understand how in God's name we sleep at night in our comfortable homes while people are dying and going to hell 3 every second. I don't understand it. And I look, man, I was reading a book the other day called The Great Omission. A pretty good book. I don't agree with everything it said, but pretty good book. And as I was reading The Great Omission, he made this statement. He said, when we look at the church in America, and then we look at the world that God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he separated the world into 3 groups. And he said, we can say safely that 33% of our world, 33%, has the gospel readily available and readily accessible. And he said, I'm not saying everybody's heard the gospel. people, but I'm saying it's available to them and it's accessible to them. He said, that's what I'm saying. And he said, well, can you imagine if the Lord sent his disciples out and said, I want you to feed the 5,000. Can you imagine if they went out and they brought that bread and they brought that fish and they brought it to the first 1,650 people and they stopped, that about 33% of them, and they stopped right there and they said, man, we're tired. Man, we've done all we... I mean, we've fed 1,650 people. How many... Hey, which 12 of you can stand up and say, I have fed 1,650 people all at one time. So we've done more than anybody else has ever done. Because look at all we've done. But the Lord didn't say feed 1,650 people. He said to feed 5,000. Amen. The resources was available for the 5,000. Amen. The bread and loaves were available for the 5,000, for the whole multitude. I'm saying the resource of the grace of God and the blood of Christ and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of Christ is available for the world. And we've reached about 33%. And I'm simply saying, is there any more we can do? This is a missions conference. Is there any more we can do? Is there anybody that can say, I could go a little further? I could step out a little further. I could witness a little more. I could give a little more. Is there anybody that'd say, by the grace of God, I don't know if God would use me, but I'd stand up and I'd be willing to go if God would use me. Amen. I'm telling you, God's looking. Who wants the heathen? Who wants the heathen? Who wants the heathen? Who wants the heathen? Look out across our world today. Look out over the oceans. Look out at a population, I checked it on Google last night, 7.44 billion people. You know, when I went to Africa, we hadn't crossed the 7 billion mark in March of 2015. It was after I went that our planet, they said we crossed 7 billion. Do you know that less than 2 years later, we're 7 and almost a half billion people? Who wants the heathen? 2.8, conservative estimates say 2.8 million. I've never heard the name of Christ. Liberal estimates say 3.5 billion. 2.8 billion to 3.5 billion. That's anywhere between 33 and about 48% have never heard the name of Christ. I didn't say a clear presentation of the gospel. I said the name of Christ. When you look out across the world, where darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, knowing that they are going to burn forever. I don't think we get it. JR said yesterday, he was eating lunch. He said, man, if we really believed, Brother Blue, if we really believed, I don't think we'd be in church tonight. I think we'd be outreaching the people. Amen. Are you hearing me? Who wants the heathen? How in God's name can we sleep knowing that while we rest, people are going to a place that they'll never rest for eternity? They'll burn forever, not having had. I'm not talking about people. I've got a brother, and man, I want to see him get saved. And he's laying in the ICU right now in Aberdeen, and they don't know which way it's going to go. And I want to see him get saved. Please understand what I'm about to say. I want to see my brother get saved. I've prayed and pleaded with God for 20-some years for my brother, but I want you to listen to me. My brother's heard the gospel over and over and over, and God's still not willing that it perish. God still wants him to come to repentance. And I'm not giving up hope on my brother, but I'm saying, there's a man that's heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel. His father's a preacher. His uncle's a preacher. His son professed at one time a preacher. His brother's a preacher. I'm telling you, man, he's heard the gospel over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm not listening, but I'm saying, how can we lay our heads on our pillows at night knowing that there are people across the world, people that have never heard the gospel one single time. They've never had an opportunity. I know we're not going to see them all get saved by the grace of God. I understand that. But I at least want to give them an opportunity to get saved. I want them to make the choice whether they'll accept or reject Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. We've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. How shall they call on him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And how can they be sent if we're not asking God to give us the heathen for our inheritance? If we're not asking God to send laborers, how can they be sent if we're not praying? Who wants the heathen? Who wants those people with tattoos our brother spoke about all over their bodies? Gauges in their ears, bones through their noses. Who wants them? We laugh at them. We go by. Like an old Pharisee. Look at them. Look how they've scarred and marred their bodies. Who wants the homeless bums who sleep outside in the elements tonight because of their addiction to sin? You say, well, they made their own bed. They got to lay in it. But Jesus also made a place for them at Calvary, and he'd like for them to rest in him. Amen. Who wants their souls and their minds and their bodies? Who wants them enough to pray to God with intensity and fervency for them? I'm talking about red hot praying. Can I ask this question? How much do we want to see the heathen get saved? When's the last time you fasted a meal and prayed for the heathen? When's the last time you fasted and begged God to send a missionary to reach people that maybe you know you'll never get to a country or a place, but God could send them? When's the last time that we fasted a day or 2 days and said, "Oh God, I'm not going to quit fasting and praying until I get confirmation that my prayer's heard and that somebody's been called to go to the mission field"? How bad do we want to see unreached peoples reached? Greenland with the gospel, the Great Commission fulfilled, West Africa. Listen. How bad do we want to see it? I want to tell you something. Let me just answer the question. I'm done. Who wants the heathen? God does. God does. We already quoted it, but 2 Peter 3:9. I'm telling you, in 2017, as bad as this world is, God is still not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. God still wants the heathen. God has not lost one ounce of passion for heathen folks. That I'm talking about than when He went to Calvary and shed His blood and died and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's not lost one ounce of passion. He gave His all. He resisted unto blood, striving against sin and for sinners. Amen. And He shed His blood on the cross. I'm saying God wants them. In Isaiah 45:22, He said, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." He didn't say, "Look unto me, America, and look unto me, Europe, and look unto me, Mexico, and look unto me." You know that He said, "Man, all the ends of the earth, look unto me, all the ends of the earth." Man, God says, "Man, I want people in North Korea saved." And God said to Josh McBriar, amen, "By the grace of God," amen, I'm saying, God said, "Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I'm the Lord, there is none else." Isaiah 53, verse number 6 said that He was wounded for our transgressions. He wants the heathen. He wants those souls in Norway. He was wounded for their transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. He was. Somebody said God had one son and He made him a missionary. That's how bad God wants the heathen. God looked at His son and He wasn't worried about, "Well, you know, what will my son miss out on if I let him go be a missionary?" It was, and Jesus came to this earth. And you know what? He came here. I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, Christians, man, the message of Christianity is radical. When you, I'm telling you, man, I can't get away, man. One of you preachers read this morning that verse that talked to, I believe it's you. I read that verse about denying self and taking up our cross and following. And I'm going to tell you something, man. When it comes to denying, Jesus knew what it meant to deny self. And we've been called. We have been called to follow in His footsteps. He said, man, the habit. He said, look, He said, the birds of the air, they got nests to lay in. The foxes, they've got holes. Man, I'm the Son of God. And I don't have a place to lay my head. We say, "Oh, we'll follow you, Lord. We'll follow you until it starts affecting my wealth a little bit. We'll follow you. It still starts affecting my health a little bit. And then we'll kind of slow up." I'm telling you, folks, you're going to die something. You're going to burn out somewhere for somebody and for some cause. You might as well just do it for Jesus and His cause. Amen. You might as well just burn out for Him. Amen. You might as well just burn out. You've got a candle life to burn. You might as well just burn it out for Him. Amen. I'm saying God cares. Amen. Jesus cares. I want to say, not only does God care, great missionaries of bygone years cared. We have these quotes. We hear those quotes, but you look back at those stories, and I'm just about done. Just hang on. I said we'd be done at 12. It's 12:03. Give me about 5 more minutes. Amen. John Keith Falconer, he said, "I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light." And he did. And he didn't live too long. If you look at his, he didn't live too long. He died as a relatively young man. He burned his candle out. Amen. You reckon in eternity future that there's ever a point where he's going to look back and say, I'm talking about after having been in heaven, and after being there with his crown of rejoicing, the souls of those natives around him that come to Christ either directly or indirectly as a result of him, do you reckon he's ever going to look back and say, "Man, I tell you what, I wished I'd just slowed down a little bit, burned the candle a little bit shorter, so that when I got here to heaven"? No, I believe on the other side, he's glad that he did what he did in the will of God. Man, we get eternity future, amen. We get into heaven. I'm telling you, it ain't going to matter whether we live 30 years, 50 years, or 90 years, amen. It's all history. I'm going to tell you something else with that in mind too. We got one chance in eternity to make a difference for eternity, and that chance is now, and you better better redeem the time. Amen. Hudson Taylor said, man, Hudson Taylor was sold out to China. Amen. God put a burden on that man. He is sold out to China. He said, "If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all to China." He only had one. You don't get 1,000, you only get one. Amen. But he gave the one he had. Amen. He gave the one. You know why? Because Hudson Taylor wanted the heathen for his inheritance. And I'll guarantee you, at the judgment seat of Christ, he's got a whole line of them standing up there. Amen. Robert Moffat, the father-in-law of David Livingston, he said, in the vast plains of the north, I've sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary's ever been. And I can take you to places right now and look, and you'll still see tens of thousands of villages where no missionary's ever been. And it don't look like any's going unless we get on our knees and start praying with intensity and fervor for God to send them. C.T. Studd, these are men that lived out what they said. C.T. Studd said, some wish to live within the sound of a chapel bell. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. And he did. And he's going, I'm telling you, none of those men look back and say, well, I had 80 years. Well, I had 40 years. Well, I had 50 years. All they've got on the other side is those they brought with them. Amen. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot. You can't keep your life. And Brother Ballou nailed it last night when he said, man, it's man, our way of thinking is so opposite of God's. If you we say, oh man, I've got a health problem. I can't give. I can't go. I can't do anything for God. God said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life shall keep it. Amen. If you're willing to lose your life for God, God said, man, it works backwards. Amen. I'll give you life. Amen. If you'll give up this life, you say, well, man, God wouldn't actually want it. We're supposed to steward our life. And we're saying, I understand we're supposed to try to take care of ourselves. I understand all that. Amen. But I'm sitting there saying, not going and answering the call, and not only just answering the call, not following the command, because go ye is not a call. Go ye is a command. Amen. Go ye into all the world is a command. And not following the command of God. Amen. Where, listen, man, I'm telling you, we've got a generation, amen. And I point to myself as well and say, man, we've got a lot of work to do, so much to do, so much to do. And lastly, I want to say, who wants the heathen? Who wants the heathen? Who wants the heathen? Who wants those people in the heathen darkness filthy by the standards of this world? Filthy. I do. I'm asking of the Lord. I'm begging of the Lord. I'm pleading with the Lord that He'd give me the heathen for my inheritance. Anytime I've worked a secular job, I've tried to work my hardest for the glory of God to make a profit for my boss so that He'll say, this is a profitable employee. I think I hold him on when the layoffs come. Amen. And in this world, we want to invest and do the best with what God's given us and make the most of what God's given us. But in the terms of ministry and to those that are missionaries and pastors that are here and those that are saved, but especially pastors and mission men, God's called us to go to the heathen. We want the heathen, don't we? You want the heathen? That's why you're here. That's why you're at a missions conference. They don't mean much to this old world, but they mean the world to me. I don't care if it's on deputation and meeting folks here in Walmart, or whether it's on the other side of the world going specific to a village. You find them cast out everywhere you go. And again, I go to the words of Paul when he said, for what is our hope? What is our joy? I'm 42 years old. If I have 70 years, if by reason of strength I get 80 years, and I don't think I'll get that, over half of my life is gone. Half of my opportunity to reach my world with the gospel is gone. Ever since I was a little boy, even before I got saved, I'm telling y'all, you can say what you want to about this. I was raised in a Christian home. My dad became a pastor when I was 13. There was never a day that I did not know the truth of the gospel that I can remember. My dad, I was raised in a home. We had devotions every day. When I was a little boy, even before I can remember, my mom said, man, said, we'd come outside and there'd be a ladder set up on the side of the house and there you'd be preaching to the neighbor. I said, I don't remember none of that. And she said, man, you'd preach out. You'd say, Mr. Beamer, are you saved? And she said, he'd look and say, Jimmy, I'm saved. And this is my mom said, I don't remember this, nor would I ever say this to somebody now that I'm of an age of accountability. She said, I'd look and say, Mr. Beamer, you're smoking a cigar. You can't be saved. And he'd laugh and say, Jimmy, I'm saved. When I was raised up, all of my heroes were preachers. My dad didn't care about television. We didn't have a television. My dad didn't care about sports. I didn't know anything about professional sports. But I knew about preachers that come by our church and they'd preach, and missionaries that talk about folks. And when I was a little boy, I began praying as a little boy, God, let me be a preacher. That's all I want to do is be a preacher. And I didn't get saved until I was 17. And the first thing I asked the Lord when I got saved, the first thing I asked my dad, I said, Dad, do you think God let me be a preacher? And he said, Jimmy, he said, you just live for the Lord each and every day. Read His Word, and if God wants you to be a preacher, He'll call you. You just live for God now and be faithful now. Amen. And I got saved, and God called me to preach, and God's allowed me to lead a few people to the Lord along the way. And I want to say, I'm just about done, I promise. I don't care about financial inheritances. I don't care about money. It don't mean nothing to me. I don't care about vehicles, about a nice vehicle. I don't care. Someone gives me, I'll take it. But it don't matter to me. Amen? It's not important to me. Those things are going to burn one day. They're going to burn. But I do care about seeing people saved by the grace of God. And I want to see the heathen get saved. I beg God to let me do the greater works of winning souls to Christ. I've pleaded in the streets and pleaded in the homes. I've pleaded with people in mud huts and door to door with sinners as we've tried to put feet to our prayers when we've asked God to give us the heathen. And I want you to listen to me this morning. And I mean with all my heart what I'm saying. The only regret that I have in this life is when I made choices that kept me from being able to win the heathen to the Lord. Foolish decisions and foolish choices and lost time. Brother Ballou said the other night, he said, we can thank God for a second chance. But people that could have heard and didn't, they won't get a second chance, many of them. And I don't know how much time I have on this earth. God does, and it don't matter to me. I don't care if I got it. I don't care if I got a year or 100 years. I don't care. But I'm telling you, by the grace of God, I want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, here's some souls that you died for. Here's some people that you thought precious enough that you shed your blood on Calvary's cross for them. Here they are. I've done what I could in your power. I've failed. I've messed up at times. But God's faithful. I want to redeem the rest of the time that God's given me to reach the heathen folks with the gospel, the grace of God. And I ask you, by way of invitation, every head bowed, every eye closed, I ask the pastor to come just a moment here. But by way of invitation, I want to ask you, is there anybody in the room that say, man, I want the heathen? I want the heathen. I'm willing to fast and pray for heathen folks to get saved. I'm willing to fast and pray for God to send laborers. Anybody in the room this morning that say, man, I'm telling you, I can't just sit here and let half of our world lay in heathen darkness without the gospel. There's more that God can do with me. There's more that God can do through me. There's more people that can be reached with the gospel of the grace of God. I don't have much. I don't know how much time I have. I don't have much to give. But what I have, I want to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to give to see souls come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, we don't have much time. Let's redeem the time because the days are evil. Let's spend our lives. Let's spend our time fasting, praying, fervent about trying to reach our generation with the gospel of the grace of God. I'm telling you, this life's going to soon be gone for every one of us. Next year, there may be people in this meeting that are going to be in heaven next year. What are you going to do? What are we going to do with the remaining time we have left? What are we going to do? Would you plead with God to give you some heathens? Would you beg God to give you some bus kids somewhere? To give you some down and out bums? To give you some drug addicts? Would you pray that God would give you some people that are sitting in heathen darkness? Would you come and claim that promise from God's word? Ask of me and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Will you ask? If you'll ask, I believe God will give. Pastor.